And welcome, welcome, welcome to The Business at 2 here on your number one talk radio station of Eagle FM. And as you heard it, that was the discussions just there brought to you by Herta and Justicia on the radar team. We're quickly stepping into a short ad break, which will come back after this.
MTC's Tamba Advance just got a whole lot better. Now you can get data bundles in advance and simply repay the next time you top up. Because sometimes airtime isn't really what you need. It's data. And there's more. If you're just short of the amount required to buy a data bundle, the new bundle completion feature has got your back. This new feature will allow you to use your Tamba loan to add to your data bundle purchase. It's double the convenience with MTC's new data and bundle completion features. Simply dial *682# and follow the prompts to let Tamba Advance take you further. T's and C's apply. MTC, make the connection.
Now, as we come back from that quick break, we step into our first item here on the Business at 2 here on the number one talk radio station. Now, just as mentioned, the Namibia Bus and Taxi Fare and Taxi Association, NABTA, indicated that there is a price increase for the various kinds of minibuses that are out there. For that, let's have a listen to this report.
Minibus fares. He was clarifying on reports that the association announced an increase from 10 to 13 Namibian dollars.
Due to the fact that they have been doing so, which is not correct, The taxi has been just increased last year, December. Till today, there is no any increment was effected. So what we did today is just an information sharing that these taxis, as minibus, they are also the same as taxis that are operating within the Windhoek municipality. Yes. They have a blue papers, they've got big numbers and everything. But there were some misinformation and confusion regarding this minibus taxi fares. So the $10 was as a result of those who are transporting illegally, and they used to charge $10 because they don't have transportation permits or requirements. The additional to that, what led to the charges or misinformation or misunderstanding regarding $10. So it's because of some drivers, they have got all the requirements, transportation permit, big numbers, blue papers, and so forth. But they have been, you know, overloading passengers in their buses. So in order to take advantage of, you know, charging the $10. So they instead of loading 13 passengers or 14 passengers in their buses, they load 20 passengers or 30 passengers in their buses in order for them to obtain the rest of the money, which is not correct. Because when you overload, you know already that you put the lives of the passengers at stake or at danger. And those are now the information that we went to clarify and make sure that this misinformation is cleared from amongst the taxi communities. And then also the other information that worth to share with you that surrounding this information sharing of today is that you know these mini buses, you know, when you go to Groovemore, for instance, because these mini buses are only transporting, you know, on those long distances within the city, from mall to mall, from taxi rank to the mall, so. The taxi, the small taxis from those any various areas within the city or from Katutura to the, to those mall, especially Groove Mall, the taxi fare is $39. But with these mini buses, because they are carrying more passengers, we gave a instruction and clear directive that the official taxi fare through these buses is only $13. So, therefore, it is worth to appreciate the commitment of NABTA, Namibia Bus and Taxi Association, towards the passengers and towards the minibus drivers, that we are lenient to everybody, because we are there to help everybody. We are helping the passengers. We are on the side of the operators, and also we are there to make sure that the policies and regulations that set in conjunction with our government within NAFTA constitution is respected. We also note that these minibuses has been overspeeding. Because of this $10 they are overcharging, they've been charging, they are overspeeding and they've been causing accidents here and there. And they were also putting the life of other road users at danger. So we tell them that no overspeeding, no overcharging of passengers, no overloading, and they must respect the rules of the road. That is contained in the letter, official document that contains the price charges and all the information that they have the law enforcement approach them or any other passenger. They have information that they have to provide to the passengers, to any other official that request them to do so. So there is no price increment. It's only information sharing to correct which was not correct.
Okay, so how, in your opinion, after the letter has been written, how do you think the passengers feel about them having to pay $13 from $10?
No, the passengers feel very well, especially with the explanation that we have provided today. They appreciate it very much. They have shown their appreciation and thank the Namibia Bus and Taxi Association for coming out and share with them this information. Particularly, those who used to inform their bosses or their employer that the taxi fare is $13, but the employer refused to give them $10. I mean, $13, but only give them $10. So therefore, they appreciate that, and we also appreciate those passengers that have been so honest and tell us that the problem lies with their employers. They are the one who doesn't want to give them, enough transport allowance. So for us, it was so a grateful day for us. And we also thank the taxi drivers, these minibus drivers, for their cooperation, for their understanding, and for their support as well. So we as NAFTA, we are there to support them. We are there to make sure that their business is protected. The same as the passengers, that their life has been protected, and they are so well guided through this initiative of making sure that no overcharges, no overloading, and the drivers must drive as per the rules of the road. There is another thing that I have to share with you, which is a very serious and grateful complaint from these taxi drivers, minibus drivers, that this one was also from the local taxis, small taxis, that there are a lot of foreigners that are conducting illegal transportation business here in Namibia. But there is nothing that happened to them. So they've been doing so illegally for a long time, and they said, no, please, this must come to an end. And this is a regional policy, so which is not only in Namibia, it is also within the entire African countries. There is no foreigners conducting transportation business in any country. So this is what we have to share. We have shared that. And we have informed all those foreigners that are conducting this illegal transportation business within Namibia, so that they can stop such. And if they continue to do so, we are going to conduct the operation. NAFTA is going to conduct an operation to root out those foreigners who are now conducting taxi business within Namibia illegally, so that we can have a conducive environment. Remember, as we speak now here, we have got now a very high increase of criminal activities, happening within the public transport sector. And we have got the information that some of these foreigners are the one causing or involved in these criminal activities, or some of them, they've been convicted in their countries. they run away, they come to hide here in Namibia, and now become influencing and conducting illegal transportation business here. So we don't want that. We have got many people that have lost their properties. Some of them have been, you know, taxi drivers, they've been hijacked, and their taxis have been run away with, and some passengers have been robbed their items and their belongings. So we don't want the lives of the our citizens to be at stake while we are watching on. So therefore, we have to start now, and we make sure that the public transportation sector is safe and reliable.
Okay, my last question is, because now the bus fare and the taxi fare is the same, has the same price, so do you think the buses will have customers, since it's the same price as the taxis? People would obviously want to go to the taxi because the taxi is not, it won't be loaded and things like that. Do you think the buses will have customers?
Yeah, for sure. Because these mini buses, as I told you, that they are assisting passengers that work, you know, at a very, very far places, especially, you know, Prosperita, Groovemall, Klein Vinduk, you know, and so forth. So these are the areas where the mini bus have to be to charge $13, and it is worth to charge so, and it is very fair because of the distance. As I told you, that the small taxi going from Katutura to Grumo, it costs its normal price is $39. So, but these mini buses, we only allow them in toll, officially to charge $13, irrespective of the distance, and irrespective of the charges that the taxis have to charge. There is no price increase. This is what I'm telling you. There is no price increase. We have only the prices increased since last year. The mini buses, these that are transporting passengers between the malls and the taxi rank from Katutura. So they are the same. They have the same requirements at these local taxis, these small taxis. That's why I'm telling you that the price is the same.
Okay.
Yes, the price is the same. What we said is only that they cannot charge 26 or 39 like these small taxis, because these mini buses carry a large amount of, a high number of passengers. They carry more passengers. That's why we say they remain 13, irrespective of the distance where they are taking this.
And that there was the Secretary General of NAPTA, Mr. Nakatingo, just in discussion there with my colleague Dolly. Now, as we step into our next item, this is where the Fourth Industrial Revolution Task Force presented their feedback and report to President Hage Geingob earlier today in terms of where Namibia's readiness stands. Let's have a listen to this report. The Fourth Industrial Revolution Task Force that was appointed in July of 2021 last year, earlier today, provided and handed over feedback to President Hage Geingob at State House and also his presidential advisors. At the event, the head of the task force, Professor Anicia Peters from UNAM, provided some inputs into the recommendations, as well as also what were the major issues and also who were the participants from where they extracted their information from. The task force had a time limit or a time period of only operating for 12 months in order to provide the analysis, as well as also a report on the country's readiness for the next industrial revolution, which has been dubbed the Fourth Industrial Revolution. On that, we have a listen to some of the feedback coming from the session.
From that one. And then broader 4IR applications. So those are the ones that industry or the stakeholders have perceived when Namibia could go into. Although tourism, we pulled out a little bit to say that that's also something that we can concentrate on for 4IR. So the key issues, in summary, those were the ones: education and skills, inadequate policy and legal environment, national data is a problem, lack of capital and funds for investment, lack of skills, inadequate power or ICT infrastructure, lack of a national strategy, cybersecurity, global trade barriers, and high cost of data and availability of ICTs. So we then looked at, from all of these that came, as well as the work streams, also did their own research, and of course they also came up with their own recommendations. We pulled it all together, and this is the house, the Namibian house now for IR. So the first one is that we need a national consolidated. Silke, we could actually go to the next slide. We could appoint a national 4IR commission. We are proposing that the Office of the President does this to develop a national 4IR strategy and oversee cross-sectoral implementation. The reason why we are recommending number one and number two is to develop and implement a consolidated national 4IR strategy, is because we've seen so much coordination problems and challenges and overlaps. And with that, we've seen that there is sometimes a uncertainty as to who is responsible for which one, or we're sharing it, therefore we don't have, you know, if you have too many bosses then, or cooks in the kitchen, then nobody takes responsibility when the broth is boiled. So with this, we are recommending a consolidated national strategy, because we saw strategies coming up everywhere. Strategy for this, strategy for that, etc. But for the National 4IR Commission, we are also proposing, Your Excellency, in particular, that we do not want to introduce another burden to the already overburdened. That this be drawn from private sector, from citizens, the individuals, from academia, from everywhere, and that we're proposing as a common type of basis, and that they serve in that capacity then on a pro bono basis, but on the continent. So that's what we're recommending. We've also, number eight is to prioritize cybersecurity. I think we've seen in the data that this is problematic. Number nine, to mobilize financial resources for 4IR development. We are saying that if government, if state coffers are really overburdened, we have to look at additional sources such as FTI. And we find that the private sector can also come on board. In our stakeholder engagements, private sector is not too opposed to the idea, for instance, to, you know, put money into an education pool or into a national reskilling pool, etc. And then improve the global trade environment. This is the reduction of barriers to e-commerce. Trade should be a particular area of focus, but there are many others. There are tax breaks, for instance, that could be introduced. Multiple incentives for trading. And then, of course, also the mix of products that we're looking at, sectors that we are looking at that we could develop, such as a service sector for ICT or software development, which is something that is the world over that countries are looking at. And then to develop a robust e-government services to support the 4IR. Now, that one, together with number 13, the establish a national AI institute, could work in tandem, because the establishing National AI Institute is to support 4IR adoption as well as develop actually 4IR applications, reskill people or skill highly specialized people in there, conduct R&D within that AI Institute, and develop not only for in-country software and AI applications, but also for abroad, because that could become self-sustaining very quickly, but also could potentially bring in revenue for the country. And of course, do that. If we improve the e-government service delivery to citizens, to businesses, etc., we will also see that our ease of business ratings, for instance, will start to increase. So there's a lot of benefits on that. And then the strengthen the 4IR research and development capability. I can just say on this one is that now with the emerging green hydrogen economy, there has never been so much mention and such a big need for robust R&D capability in the country. Every second thing that you read is R&D. So we really need to work on that. Because if you go into the data, you'll see that we're really lagging in this respect on full-time researchers, researcher density, and research services provided within the country.
Now, Peter's also indicated what were the main or the major issues that they had to look at as well, or that actually came about in terms of the information gathering session. We have a listen to this.
So, what were the results? Now, off the bat, I must say that it is the first time that Namibia was actually scored on the World Economic Forum's Future of Production Instrument. We will see the score a little bit later in the slides, but it is quite a significant contribution that we are making, that we can now see where we are, how well we are performing in comparison also to other countries. So, on the assessment, we shortened it to CRA. The preconditions for digital infrastructure is we found that Namibia performs relatively well. These are perceptions of CEOs and heads of organizations and institutions and individuals. The whole framework is based on perceptions. So this is what Namibians are seeing, that we're performing relatively well on digital infrastructure, especially using the internet. We have 51% people using the internet. Cellular phone subscriptions is good. 21% of Namibian households have a computer, which is very similar to South Africa. However, mobile data is perceived to be expensive in Namibia in comparison also to other countries when we did the secondary data reviews. But the reliability and speed was considered as average. Cybercrime is a big problem for Namibia. It is a high risk in Namibia, especially the lack of legislation. And we see that we are lagging behind some of our peer countries in SADC who have cybercrime legislation such as Botswana, Mauritius, South Africa, and Zimbabwe. And then we used additional instruments such as the Network Readiness Index to sort of see how well we are performing in terms of other countries. So this one is relatively well that we are performing if we would just look at some key matters. Another matter is electricity provision. So energy provision is problematic for Namibia with only 56% electricity coverage. However, again, we are not performing the worst in the region. So we are performing about average. There is room for improvement, much room for improvement, but we were not found to be amongst the lowest countries within Africa. Next. Another precondition for the 4IR is education. Education will bubble up at several places within the survey, but also with stakeholder engagement. There is, with most of the findings on the CRA, there is a correlation with what we have found with stakeholders as well. Education is a central ingredient for the 4IR. But one of the things is to adopt advanced digital technologies and actually to create them. It means that we have to change how we develop educational offerings in complex fields, such as AI, advanced robotics, biotechnology, new materials, with the work streams that we had developed, that everybody had introduced. Essentially, what we did for this work is that we had stakeholder engagements in the form of focus groups and interviews. I will give the numbers just in the next slide. Then we have conducted a country 4IR readiness assessment. We had actually co-designed a framework on this, and we used the standard element from the World Economic Forum for Future of Production, and we have added two layers to it. So I will give from that also what was the responses and then what was the outcomes. Then, of course, we had the Namibia 4IR conference and expo. We've taken those conference outcomes as well into consideration, as well as looking at social media, at print media, and at television as to the numerous panel discussions, the public's input whenever they were speaking about the 4IR or raising any issues, we had considered those as well. And then, of course, we had done secondary desk reviews throughout. So, in total, for stakeholder engagement sessions, those were the focus groups and interviews, we had engaged 160 diverse organizations that we had categorized according to the work stream or thematic area that they would fall under. Of those, there were 660 individuals engaged under those stakeholder engagement sessions. For the conference and expo participants, those were 400. And then for the 4IR readiness assessment survey, we had 514. And then, as I said, we also considered all of the inputs that we could get from the public. Next. So one of the main instruments that we used a country readiness 4IR assessment framework. And as I mentioned, we had taken the future of production capabilities is a standard instrument that we had taken from the World Economic Forum because it's standard, it was validated already. What we had added is we had added two more layers, one layer on preconditions. So preconditions is normally considered as infrastructure for 4IR, education readiness, and the innovation system within any country. And then we had also looked at what are Namibians considering as what are the broader 4IR applications that we could foresee for the country. So total of 514 responses. This was an online survey. We had distributed it far and wide. We also had help, for instance, from Deloitte in sending it to all of their clients as well. Then we had 319 Namibian companies participating, and 195 consisted out of government, civil society, NGOs, and education sector, and individuals. Next.
Now, as you heard there, that gave an in-depth insight in terms of the fourth industrial revolution's or Namibia's readiness in that regard. This brings us up close to the end. However, we will end off with the economic indicators here on your number one talk radio station of Eagle FM. Stay tuned. And next, we've head into the economic indicators as well as also some commodity prices and extra information bits for financial news. Starting off with the Namibia Stock Exchange overall, which ended on the year-to-date for -0.64% in terms of its trading, as well as also the percentage change for the end of its session, which recorded a 2.73% change. However, it ended also the last trading session on a -43.83% for that matter. The NSX Local, however, closed on 465 points in the positive, which indicated to a 0.29-point move. However, that was a minimal 0.06% change. With its year-to-date percentage change for trading activities, ending at a -11.97%. However, stepping into South Africa for that matter, where 20.9 billion rand had been traded on the all-share index, where the Johannesburg Stock Exchange all-share ended down -1.82%, while the Johannesburg Stock Exchange top 40 was lower by -1.89%. Now, the industrial sector was down by -0.89%, while financials were down -2.80%. Resources were lower on -2.72%, and gold miners moved lower by -3.43%. This leads us into the global review, taking a look at some of the international stock markets. Now, the Dow Jones ended its last trading session at minus 7.24%, while the Nasdaq recorded a massive 18.79% in its final session. The S&P 500, still in the USA, ended on minus 11.28%, while the FTSE 100 heading into Europe in the UK was the only indices that ended on a positive 2.25%. Now, the Shanghai Composite gained 0.5% and the Hang Seng rose by 0.20%, and the Nikkei...
On the Radar was proudly brought to you by Global Parts Namibia. Global Parts, global reach for best local prices and advice.
We continue still with some of the economic indicators and then end off on today's session of Business at 2 here on your number one talk radio station of Eagle FM. Stay tuned. Resources were lower on minus 2.72% and gold miners moved lower by minus 3.43%. This leads us into the global review, taking a look at some of the international stock markets. Now, the Dow Jones ended its last trading session at minus 7.24%, while the Nasdaq recorded a massive 18.79% in its final session. The S&P 500, still in the USA, ended on minus 11.28%, while the FTSE 100 heading into Europe in the UK was the only indices that ended on a positive 2.25%. Now, the Shanghai Composite gained 0.5% and the Hang Seng rose by 0.20%, and the Nikkei 225 fell by minus 0.57%. Now, within the previous session, approximately 62 billion US dollars of activity was traded on the Shanghai Composite, and as well as also the Nikkei traded in the almost a similar range. The Dow Jones in its last session fell by 0.86%, while the Nasdaq fell by minus 2.01%. The Stock 600 heading into the other European bourses was down by minus 0.77%, while the German DAX was down by minus 1.12%, and the French CAC 40 was lower on 0.94%. Taking a look at some of the commodities and also some of the exchange rates as of today, where the spot gold current rate stood at 1745, but the percentage change was a minus 0.1%. For platinum, it is still on 898. But its change was only a minuscule minus 0.09. For palladium, it had the biggest change in terms of going up to 2147 in its value, but its actual gain was only a positive 0.82%. For silver, it stands currently at 19.06 with a move of a positive 0.06. Uranium made no moves and still maintained its level at 47.75. with no gradual increases in terms of its percentage changes. However, for Brent crude, it moved down to 95.48, which is a minus 1.28%. For the currencies on the other spectrum, or ending off the economic indicators for this session, the US dollar towards the Namibian dollar actually went down, with one US dollar costing 17 Namibian dollars on the dot, which has indicated no actual move. For the euro, one Namibian dollar will cost us 17.06 with a move of at least 0.04%. For the British pound sterling, there was also a gains by the Namibian dollar, with it now costing one British pound costing now 20.1 Namibian dollars, which also indicated a similar sort of stagnation in that move. For the euro, between the major currencies, the euro to the US dollar, you still get 1 euro equals to $1 with no minuscule move. For the pound versus the US dollar, you get 1.18 US pound for the US dollar. And for the Australian dollar towards the US dollar, you still get for one Australian dollar 60 US cents. And that brings us to the end of this Monday session of the Business at 2 here on your number one talk radio station of Eagle FM. Stay tuned for the rest of your regular programming to follow after this.